Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Tonight, alhamdulillah, is the launch of the Ummah Building Tour here in Qatar, Doha, alhamdulillah. And this series of lectures is something I've been looking into doing for a long time. And the brothers here at, what is it, Ibn Zayd, huh? Because we know Fanar for so many years, mashallah. At the Ibn Zayd Center now, right? Have asked us to talk about some family issues. And I said, alhamdulillah, it's something I've been looking to do myself for a long time. Because we're in dire need as ummah to look at how to build our ummah. Our children, ourselves, our future. Because we see the issues of the ummah changing right in front of our eyes. So how do we build our ummah from within? Because what happens sometimes, people want to make drastic changes and they don't have the proper foundation. So we need to start from ground zero. When we look at building an awesome family, in tonight's lecture, we have 25 tips how to build an awesome Muslim family, inshallah ta'ala. The first thing, and the most important thing, is choosing your spouse. The thing we look for when it comes to choosing our spouse is what? Religion. Huh? Piety. What else? Somebody mentioned something here. Character, very good. So these answers are right, but there's still some missing ingredients in it. Because we looked at one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or two hadith, from what you mentioned now. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, look for the one who has the religion. He mentioned four things, but he said the religion is the most important thing. We know the hadith. And another hadith, he told the Muslim fathers that if a Muslim man comes to you, and you are pleased with two of his characteristics. That's very important, the brother mentioned. Two of his characteristics, not one of them. Which is what? What are the two characteristics? His religion, his character. So if you're pleased with his religion and his character, then marry him to your daughter. And if you don't, what's going to happen? Fitna throughout the earth. Like the ones we live in today. Because you go now to marry a sister, and it's mission impossible. Got some crazy conditions that you could never meet, so you leave her. Khalas. And that's why there's fitna, because if you had the deen, and you had the khuluq, you had the manners, it's all you need. And this is very important, because we only focus sometimes on the first thing, which is the deen. The deen, the deen, the deen. And some people say, some people who have deen have some very bad manners, which is true. Because they don't know what deen is. Some people think the deen is having the beard, having the thawb, mashallah, tabarakallah, from the sahaba. No doubt it's from the sunnah, it's important, having a beard. But if you have bad akhlaq, bad manners, which is not the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beard doesn't do you any good. You didn't understand what la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah meant if you have bad manners. And that's why the scholars mentioned in the books of aqidah, the books of Islamic belief, the issue of good manners. And from the aqidah, the belief of Ahl Sunnah is having good manners. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتِمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Verily, the reason I was sent was to perfect good manners. High status in Islam, the good manners. So we need to look at the religion and the manners of that person. But there's also missing ingredients, and people will look into this. The Prophet ﷺ, he ordered one of the Sahaba. He's about to get married. Pay attention to this. He said, did you see her? And he said, no, I haven't seen her. He said, go and see her. And then another hadith, he said, see what calls you to her nikah, what calls you to marry her. Meaning, see to see what you like. Because everybody has different things that he likes. You hear some stories sometimes, and you have your own taste. Everybody has their own taste. Sometimes you see a woman, you be like, oh, mashallah. And somebody else sees, ba'udhu billah. Everybody has different taste. I remember when I first became Muslim, I heard two guys talking. Said the most important thing is that she's big, she's huge. I was like, what's wrong with these guys, you know? He said, you can't see her ankle. I mean, she's really fat. But that's what they liked. Another brother, when he was telling me, you know, he's like, Sheikh, I'm looking to get married, if you can help me out. He said, the most important thing is she's really skinny. I'm talking about bony. She pokes you. She cuts you with her bones. I'm like, ah, man, what's wrong with you, man? That's his style. So that for him is important. When he said, this is important for me, that she's bony. Everybody has their own taste when it comes to that. Everybody likes what he sees. That's why the Prophet said, look at what you like. That calls you to marry. It's very important. And that's why he mentioned the four things also, the beauty. It's important. Because the person you're going to live with all your life comes and says, oh, he has good akhlaq, mashallah, good deen, but he's ugly. But she marries him. And then she, after a year, she's like, she's smiling. Okay, baby. And I was like, inside, but she's like, oh, this guy, you know. What did I get myself into? And the same thing he does. I mean, I can't reject the sister for her deen. So he keeps looking at her. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. And it causes the marital problems right there. So you have to look at these three ingredients. All from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the best wife is the one, when you look at her, she makes you what? Happy. And the same thing for the woman. She sees the man happy. His akhlaq, how he takes care of his house, and how he looks, his presence. So this is very important. And that's why Imam Ahmed, he had some fiqh, which people don't pay attention to. Because people know the story of Imam Ahmed, when his wife, Salih, rahimahullah, when she died, his first wife, when she died and he wanted to get married again, they brought him two women to choose from. They said one of them, they're both great women, but one of them, she said, she's, you know, darker in complexion and she has an issue with her eye. She only has one eye. Other eye, it's not working. And the other one, she's lighter in complexion and she's more beautiful. Immediately, Imam Ahmed said, which one is that to deen? Which one has the religion? They said, the one who has the problem with the eye. He said, this is the one I want. Because he knew as a person what he looked for. He said, that's the one I want. And who was she? Abdullah, the mother of the Imam. Pay attention. The Imam Abdullah, the son of the Imam Ahmed. May Allah have mercy upon them all. But when he told some people, when they were looking to get married, he said, ask about the beauty before the deen. Pay attention. Imam Ahmed. He said, ask about the beauty before the deen. People were surprised because they look at what he did and they look at the hadith. Choose the deen. How can Imam Ahmed say this? Look at the fiqh. He said, because if you reject her later, because if they say her religion is good, she's religious, she's a good sister, but look-wise, or when you see her, like, it's not my style. So he says, it's like you're rejecting her deen. But if you ask about the beauty first, and it's like, she's not all that, man, you know, honestly. Then you say, alhamdulillah, it's not my, I don't even go any further. They say, no, she's beautiful. And then you ask about the deen. She's also religious, then you take the next step. So these issues are very, very important from the beginning, the foundation. You make sure you choose the correct partner. Also, the importance of having common goals. They say, the kuffar, they say, opposites attract. For a one-night stand, maybe. That's because that's their life. But for a foundation that you're building, opposites don't usually attract. 1 year, 2 years, maybe, but then they start to drift apart. Because you have different goals, different interests, different things you want to accomplish in life. And that's why it's important, each person who gets married. Before you get married, the sister asks the brother. The brother asks the sister, what are your goals in life? What do you want to do? What do you like to do? Make sure you have common interests so the marriage will work. After you choose the correct spouse, immediately, step two is to build your fortress around your house. Protect your house. Build your house on taqwa. And that's why some of the early Muslims from the Salaf, they used to focus on getting married after Ramadan. Why would they get married after Ramadan? All of coming on Iman high. Fasting, Taraweeh, giving sadaqah, finish the Quran. So they start their marriage on the basis of taqwa. The first thing you do from the sunnah, the night of your marriage, what are you supposed to do? Huh? No, that's a long, I'm talking the night of the marriage. That's done. Huh? You have the dua and you do what? Pray two rakats together. This is how you, as soon as you take your wife back, how many implement that sunnah? Usually now after you make your ghusl, you come back and you pray the two rakats, right? But the sunnah is,
right away, pray two rakats, and then, you know, you make a ghusl later, inshallah. That's the sunnah. Why? This is a clear message from the sunnah of the Prophet on how to build your household, to build your household on taqwa, on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on ibadah. Nowadays, how do we start our marriages? Most Muslims showing off, doing that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having parties. Is it sunnah to have a party? Sure. Yeah, the walima. It's a party. You want to call it what you want to call it. It's a walima. It's a party. It's a halal party. But now we want to do the haram party. Singing, dancing, women in mini skirts, taking pictures, doing all kinds of haram, having the groom come in. All kinds, whatever country you're from, it's all kinds of haram to start with. And people, because of their weak and they want everybody to be pleased and happy, they start their marriage on that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Step two, most Muslims today make sure that the malaika never enter in their house. This is the key. Don't enter my house. Because what do? We take our marriage picture, so cute. Husband, wife, no hijab on, and put it up for everybody to see on the wall. So the angels don't come in, as the Prophet said. There's a picture, no angels are coming in. From the beginning. Don't follow the sunnah in the household. Don't say, Bismillah, we enter. Shaitan enters with us. Making the sunnah part of our household. Our house built on the sunnah. We see it from the night of the marriage. But it goes deeper than that. In all aspects of the life. When you look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us the status of each spouse. From the beginning, he told the woman that if she prays her five daily prayers and fasts her month and does what? What's the next thing? And obeys who? Her husband. What does she get in return? Jannah. Enters the Jannah from any of the doors she wants. She pleases. She chooses which door. Because she had to put up with you. That was hell on earth, huh? Putting up with you, huh? Alhamdulillah. She obeyed you, though. And she did her duties to Allah and to her husband. She enters into the Jannah from any door she pleases. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was to order any human to make sujood to another human, who would it be? Wife to the husband or husband to the wife? Be careful. Wife to the husband. Status of the husband. The men now, their chest up like, yeah, you know? Like, yes. Hope she's hearing this. Huh? But don't forget what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, khayrukum, the best of you. We have all kinds of sunnah. We don't take one part of the sunnah, leave the rest. You heard what the sheikh said tonight? About the sujood? Prophet ﷺ, he said this. But he also said, the best of you is what? Best to the wife. And I'm the best of you to my wives. Allahu Akbar. You want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet, the best is the best to his wife. And he also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, talking about dealing with the wives. How did he used to deal with his wives, alayhi salatu wasalam? Kindness. When we look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well, when it comes to following the sunnah, how was he in his household as well? In the service of his wives. He used to serve his wives. He used to help out around the house, like all of us today, mashallah, tabarakallah. All the men at this time. Huh? To make the wife feel appreciated. To help her out, put her hand into her hand. Don't forget, don't think, no, I'm working. It's different now because I work 9 to 5. So she has to do all the work. Did you do more work than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Praying most of the night? In the service of the ummah, he's the judge, the imam, the counselor, the general of the army, the president, all in one. And he's still in the service of his wife, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the household. House built on the sunnah. We need to strive from the beginning. And just when I say the beginning, I don't want to give you old guys, here, you guys lost hope. We didn't do it right in the beginning. No, you can implement from now. I want from tonight all of us to make a commitment to implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our house. There's a small little book, and it's on an app on your phone. You can download it for free. Called 1,000 Sunnahs. In the night, in the day. Download it after the lecture, inshallah. 1,000 sunnahs in the night and in the day. From the time you wake up in the morning, through all your deeds and actions you do through the day, until you put your head down at night. 1,000 chances to get the reward to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You and your wife and your children. To make your household, make your life full of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Making our houses, houses of the Qur'an. Built on the Qur'an. Reciting from the beginning. Make a commitment that we're going to read the Qur'an every day together. It doesn't matter how much, just consistent. Every day the Qur'an is read in the house. When the Sahaba and the early Muslims, the Qur'an was part of the household, look what they reached. And when the Qur'ans left our household, look what happened to us today. I remember one of the scholars telling a story, because he told his life with the Qur'an, a modern day scholar. He was telling the commitment that him and his wife made. This was like 10 years ago, so they're probably much better now. He said that him and his wife made a small commitment together. From the time they got married, that they would read together, tilawah only. Every single day, 2 rubas. How much of a juzu is that? No, it's half of a half. So it's what? Like a quarter of a juzu, right? Quarter of a juzu. Because each juzu has how many rubas? 8. So 2 rubas, a quarter of a juzu, right? So every day they read this. Until the time he did the interview, he said that alhamdulillah, through the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we finished the Quran together 156 times. Allahu Akbar. And it's so easy. How long does it take us to read 2 rubas? 10 minutes. We don't have 10 minutes for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine the effect it has on the children when they come up and they see the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always in the hands of the mother and the father together. They have this one time together. Whether it be the time they wake up in the morning, the first thing the kids hear and see is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being recited. Reflecting on its meanings, acting upon its meanings. The Quran in our lives, in our household. Building our households on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and having our households be households of knowledge. So many mistakes we fall into because we don't have knowledge of Islam. We don't know what Islam is. We don't know what is halal, what is haram. We're ignorant with our religion. And when I'm talking about knowledge in our household, once again, I'm not talking about you have to go out 2-3 hours a day. It's good if we can do it. But even if it's just a small amount, consistently, let's say every day after Asr, we have a majlis, a sitting with our family. We sit down, for example, every day we read 1 or 2 hadiths from Riyadh al-Salihin. Then we take another book. We say we're going to read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every day read 3 pages, 5 pages, doesn't matter. And continue to read it. We finish the seerah, let's read Juz'u Ammah min Ibn Kathir. Alhamdulillah, we finished that. Let's read the book of Tawheed. Let's read this, let's read that. And you'll find at the end of time, as the scholars mentioned, when knowledge comes, how does it come? It doesn't come all at once. They made a beautiful verse of poetry that innama as-sailu ijtima'u nuqat, that the flood, when it happens, it starts from one drop. So one drop consistently makes the flood, and that's the knowledge. If you're consistent, each day you read a little bit about your deen, you're going to see the effect it's going to have on you and on your household. Making our households households of good deeds. Al-amal as-salih in the households. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how to start when we first get married. With what? 2 rakats, with the dua, what have you. Even when you go to your wife, you have a dua. It reminds you, ibadah. Ibadah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to pray the sunnah where? At home. So don't make your houses graveyards. Ibadah in the household. And you see the effect it's going to have on the children. We'll talk about that tomorrow. The effect it has on the children, they see you always praying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min, falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah." That whoever does a good deed, from a believing male or female, and he's a believer, we will give him the good life. When we get married, we build a household. We're looking for that good life.
Al-amal al-salih, good deeds. Built on the good deeds and the striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the importance, once again, of choosing the correct spouse, the religious spouse. Because what happens when you get weak? What's going to happen? They're going to remind you. When they become weak, you remind them. But if they're already weak, and not really into practicing, but they're practicing because of you, what happens? What's going to happen? Well, it's easy. You both dissolve then. Because he's like, oh, it's great for me. I don't want him to be practicing like this anyway. Big beard, I want it to go down. I don't want him to have a beard. Yeah, cut it off. It's good. Looking at something that's haram. Watching movies, watching this. Allah's going to ask you about this on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The other one, she's like, oh, this is what movie? What is this? Let's watch it together. Once again, be on the same page. Having the both people trying to strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh point is to make an agreement from the beginning. Rules and regulations of the household. And the crazy thing is, in the world we live in, there's all types of rules and regulations. And we follow them. Traffic laws, immigration laws. When you come to renew your immigration visa, when do you do it? Before time or after time? Before time. What happens if you don't do it on time? Fine, you don't want to pay no fines. So you do it on time. You don't speed. Why? Because you don't want to pay the fines. You follow the laws. But in your household, how is it? It's a jungle. So many households. No system. No nizam. The children are on the ceilings. This and that. Everybody's crazy. You're on the ceilings later with them. You're going crazy too. Because you have no rules, no regulations. This is what happens. A beautiful, beautiful story of the first night of marriage. A great scholar and qadi, judge of Islam, by the name of Shuraih al-Qadi. When he first got married, he said to his wife, the sunnah, when a husband and wife start their marriage, is for them to pray two rakats. He said, I was saying, I turned around, and he said, I find her already behind me. She knows the sunnah. So he said, after he starts on the sunnah, he goes, you know, for the next step. And he said, I put my hand out to touch her. And she says, slow down. And he said, this is what I was scared of. He said, I wasn't looking for one of these, you know. It's not what I wanted, you know, in my marriage. Slow down. I was like, what's wrong with you? You know, but he can't say anything. Then she said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam. And she started to praise the Prophet ﷺ, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give the salatu wa salam on the Prophet ﷺ. She said, she told him who she was. She said, I'm an Arab woman, Arab tribe. She was from Tamim. And she said, I've never taken a step in my life except for it's to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tell me now, from today, what it is you like so I can do it. And what it is you dislike so I don't do it. Allahu Akbar. From day one. So he started to explain to her, I like this, I like this, I like this. What he likes from life, food, dislikes from this and that. Every aspect of life. I come in and I like to have this ready. I go to sleep at this time. I wake up at this time. I like to do this when I wake up. I like to have this ready. Told her everything he likes in life, everything he dislikes. After they did that, she said to him, it's very important. She said, how are you with your in-laws? And how do you want the relationship to be? Because sometimes they say, when you marry the whole family. That's true. They're all in your house at all times. So he said, look, he was honest. He said, I'm a judge. I have a disciplined life. He said, I don't like them to fill up my life, to bore my life. I mean, I don't want them always in the house. You know, obviously it's your right to see your parents, right for them to go, for you to go. But everything has its limits. From the beginning. He said, so I spent the best night of my life with her that night. And then he said, she stayed with me as my wife for 20 years. He said, I never saw anything from her I disliked. And she never made me angry. Except for once. And I was the zalim. I was the one who pressed her. And it was my fault that she made a mistake and I got angry. It was my fault, not hers. 20 years, never had no differences. Because they had rules and regulations from the beginning. They had an agreement from the beginning. They had understanding from the beginning. Each one knows what the other one likes.
Each one knows what the other one dislikes, and they acted upon it. And if we look, for example, every person in his house should have household rules. And I recommend, because it doesn't matter if you're just starting a household or you have a household that needs to be fixed, that you write these household rules down, print them out, put them in a picture, in a frame, put them on the wall. These are the household rules. Just like out there, when it says 90, you go 90. In the house, when it says 90, you go 89. Don't go over. These are rules, regulations, like any part of life. I'll give you an example of some rules, just for example, so you understand what I'm talking about. Let's say now in the house, you see, you write down all prayers on time. Respect all members of the family, including the workers, the maids. It's important. Sunnah. Giving salams when entering and leaving. Saying please with thank you all the time. Listening to other members of the family, not eating in rooms. Things like that. You write down things that you want to happen. You're responsible for cleaning your own room. Everybody's own chores, all this type of thing. What do you want? It doesn't have to be something from any everything from the Quran and Sunnah 100%. Certain things can be just how to systemize the life. What the family time is family time. Huh? No telephones or what? Or iPads or computer, anything at the time of family time. My wife's gonna love this one, by the way. Huh? I did it for her. That was important. There's something I learned as well. Family time is family time. Put the telephone away. I saw a beautiful picture the other day. It was a man and a wife when they just got married. The night, newlyweds, honeymoon, as they went from the party back to the hotel, what are they doing? What you would think? No. Each one is on his phone. He's sitting over here, she's sitting here with the phone. Each one's squidding, chatting, what's up? Huh? Later, the night of the marriage. So this is what it's become now. So even if we have family time, each person is busy. We have family time, it's family time. We're going to talk about that in a little while, inshallah. So you make your rules, make your regulations in the house. That these, this is a red line. When these rules are, the rules. Clean up after yourself. If you open something, close it. It's the rules you have in your house. We need to train ourselves. Train our families. The next point is making our houses of mawadda and rahmah. Mercy, peaceful tranquility in the household. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this from his ayat in Surah Ar-Rum. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And from his ayat, his signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created for you what? Spouses. Why? Why? What did he create them for? To clean. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. To relax to them. And tranquility. وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And he put love and mercy between you. Verily, this is a sign for those who reflect. Reflect on these meanings. This is what our households need to become. The household needs to be a place where the man wants to be. He wants to rush home. He can't wait to get home. The woman, she's in her house, doing her household chores, working, raising the kids. And she wants to be there because it's a house of love and rahmah and mercy and tranquility. She doesn't want to leave. But now, in the days we live in, husband finds all kinds of excuses not to come home. Man, I don't want to go there. He's like, I'm working late. He doesn't have anything to do. He's just sitting in the office just so he doesn't come home. And the woman's like, I hope he comes home late today. I don't want him in the house. Deal with him. It's a problem we have to focus on working on, making the households as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described what they should be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the spouses in the Quran with the most beautiful example. Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahum. A garment. They're a garment for you and you're a garment for them. Beautiful. This is what it needs to be. This is what the marriage needs to be. This is what the household needs to be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sure his household was something special. When he entered into the house, what's the first thing he did? Before that, alayhi salatu wasalam, huh? Miswak. So when he comes and he kisses his wife, he smells good, he smells proper, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet used to love perfume.
He used to love to smell good. He used to be well-groomed. He used to take care of himself. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Enters in the household, says, Bismillah. So the shaitan doesn't come in. The other hadith, Bismillah walajna, Bismillah kharajna. Some of the scholars say it's not authentic. Nonetheless, just to say Bismillah, that is authentic, confirmed. Say Bismillah so the shaitan doesn't enter with you. And then say Salaamu Alaikum when you enter. The sunnahs, spreading the salam. Smiling, being happy when you see your wife. Kissing your wife from the sunnah when you enter, when you leave. We look into the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see that the Prophet is focused on, and pay attention to this, romance. Romance in the households. From the women, from the men. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was romantic, alayhi salatu wasallam. The Prophet, he was a perfect in every aspect of his life, alayhi salatu wasallam. People now look at some of the aspects, oh, the Westerner, this, and gentleman. There's no better gentleman than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned that he would kiss his wife entering the house, leaving the house. Studies have proven in the big American universities today that the person who kisses his wife before he leaves, it's one of the things that makes the relationship stronger and makes the relationship last. Studies have proven this. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would feed his wife with his own hands. He would take the piece of food and he would put it in your mouth, he would feed her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would drink from the same spot that his wife drank from. She would drink from this and he would say, where did you drink from? So he could put his lips on the same place her lips was. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you talk about being a gentleman. And the battle of Khaybar. After the battle, who did he marry? After the battle of Khaybar. On the way back, Safiya, radiallahu anha. What did he do when he wanted her to get onto the camel? He opened the door for her like a gentleman. How? He went down, alayhi salatu wasalam, and put his knee down for her to put her leg on his thigh, alayhi salatu wasalam, to get onto her camel. They say, now the gentleman opens the door for his wife. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the perfect gentleman. This is romance. It's important. Make the life feel special between the husband and the wife. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam talked about the importance of giving gifts in general. So tahadu tahabu. Give gifts, the love will spread. So how about your wife when you bring home a gift to her or she gives a gift to you? And studies have proven that the generous spouse make the marriage last as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about romance. Where did he die, alayhi salatu wasalam? In the lap and on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha. As the last moments of his life, he knew he was dying, alayhi salatu wasalam. He wanted to be with the love of his life, Aisha radiallahu anha. This is true love, true romance. This is how houses need to be. So many problems we have in the household is because there's no love between the husband and the wife, or not proper love. And studies, once again, have shown that one of the biggest things, we talk about tomorrow and the day after, one of the things that affect the households is the children not seeing the love between the husbands and the wife. We need to revive the sunnah in the households. The issue of intimacy in the household. And this may be a PG-13 topic or plus 18, so I'm not going to go into too many details. But also studies have proven this has got to be a very, very important thing in the life of the marriage. The Prophet ﷺ said, if a man sees fitna in the streets, it's a forgotten sunnah, by the way. Sees fitna in the street. Now we see it everywhere. On the street, on the TV, everywhere you go. What are you supposed to do? Run back home. Sunnah. This is a very, very important part. Each person pleases the other in this. You have to strive in this. And studies have proven when this part of the relationship is good, if there's weakness in other parts of the relationship, this will keep it strong. The intimacy, you can't talk enough about it. But inshallah, maybe in another time, we'll go more in detail inshallah to the aspect. The issue of family time. Family time is so very, very important. We have a time just for the family. And this is something we build the family on, and even something we need to do if we're not doing it. It might be a little more difficult if we have older children. Why? They'll be like, oh, it's boring. Want to do this? It doesn't matter. Rules and regulations. Family time. After Asr, for example, most families do it at that time. They come home from the school, have a little nap, whatever, or eat their lunch, pray Asr. Family time. 10, 15 minutes. We can make it a family project where we read part of the Quran. Talk about how your day was. What's new, what's going on. What's important is that we come together. Another important thing is what? The meals. And don't forget that all through around the world, even in the Western world, that these meals, the family meals together, used to be something muqaddas, something like of a holy nature. There was no, when it's time for dinner, it's time for dinner. There's no excuses. If I would ask you guys now, when you guys grew up, do you guys used to have the meals with your family or not? Almost everybody. Even myself, even in the West. Dinner time was dinner time in my household. Nowadays, how many of us have dinner with our families? Some of us still do, but the delivery and this and undumi and all this type of things that ruin the households. Nobody's hungry. People are busy. Everybody's in their own little world in the household. The family time is very, very important. We need to make this part of our lives. To have this bond. This bonding between the members of the family. Listening. Coming together to listen to our children. And listen to each other. To understand each other. A lot of times we don't know anything. Sometimes now parents don't even know what grades their kids are in. Like, you're in seventh grade? I thought you were still in sixth. I don't even know what grade the kids are in. Because there's no attachment. There's no relationship. Well, this is true. And people know this. Man, I didn't know you were... When did you get in that grade? Because we're not attached to our children. They're not attached to us. They're with the play box and their cartoons, internet and all this. And they don't have time for us. Or Xbox. PlayStation and Xbox. Huh? They're busy with this stuff. The issue of the secrets of the home. We need to have, from our rules and regulations, that the secrets of the home stay where? In the home. The secrets of the home stay at home. This is one of the things that Shareh Al-Qadi told his wife as well. He said, if you see anything good from me and you want to spread it, spread it. But if you see anything bad, he said, hide it. Don't let people know my faults. One of the main things that destroy the family, people will come and start talking about the bad things about their wife. The wife's talking about the bad things about their husband. And people spread these rumors. And then it comes back and it causes problems in the household. Train our children as well. What happens in the house happens in the house. It's nobody else's business. So many family problems we have today is because the secrets of the household get out of the household. The Prophet ﷺ trained us, he said, that the majalis are with amana. That what happens inside a majlis, it shouldn't go out. This is with general, just between you and a brother, or you and a few brothers. You don't spread this stuff. So how about with your family? Even more important, what happens in the house stays in the house. We need to make our homes of perfection. In all aspects. Teaching ourselves, first of all and foremost, and then our children later, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, Allah loves one of you does something to do what? To perfect it. When you do something, you perfect it. You're a husband, you strive to be the perfect husband. You're a wife, you strive to be the perfect wife. You're a daughter, a son, you're the best you can be. And being a Muslim, perfecting your Islam, perfecting your ibadah. When you have your chores in the household, you strive to perfect it. Your studies in school, you strive to perfect it. Because a lot of people think now that there's a contradiction between being a practicing Muslim and being somebody who's successful in the dunya. Once again, these people didn't understand what Islam is. Because Islam orders us to be the best we can be in all aspects of life. And that's why I find it beautiful when I travel around the world and I see sometimes that the best students are our brothers and sisters who are practicing their deen. I was lecturing recently in a university in Sudan, and this university, it's not a good place. It's one of the worst, it's the worst in Sudan. And it was meant to be like that.
At the same time, so many practicing brothers and sisters in this university, subhanAllah. Sometimes, even throughout the years, the first one, number one, the valedictorian in the class, the best student, a practicing brother, a practicing sister. I remember a few years back when I was lecturing there, they had the pictures of each one, the valedictorian of each class. So the third year student was a sister, her picture in a niqab. Best student in the university. And serious about her deen, mashallah. This is what we need to be as Muslims. To perfect our deen in all aspects of life. The 15th point that we have is the importance of having goals in our homes. Between the husband and the wife, and between the children. What is the goals? What do we want to reach? It's very important. Now, honestly, if we were to ask ourselves, what do you want from your children? To be successful, to make money, to be a decent Muslim. What have you done to do that? Do they know that? What are your goals in life? I don't know. What does your dad want from you? I don't know. You ever talk about it? Nope. We have goals. Which is what we want from our life. We want to get to Jannah. We want to be the best we can be in this dunya. Have a household built on goals. Each member of the family needs to know their role in the household. It's a team effort. Just like in football, just like in basketball. How many of you know about basketball? Because I don't know nothing about football, so I can't give an example from football. The Filipino brothers, where are the Filipino brothers? You guys know about basketball? Who's the best basketball player in the world today? LeBron James, hands down, no doubt. MVP each year, and it's not a mistake. The best of the best. How many championships has he won? Two, last 2 years, they've been champions. How did he win the championship? He went to a different team. He joined with other players who are also awesome, who are also very good, role players. Each person knew their role, they became champions. In the household, it can't be one person. The husband's awesome and nobody else is. The household's going to be awful. The Muslim, the mother and father, they're good and they're pious, but they don't teach their children how to be the same way. It's a jungle, like we said in the beginning. So each member needs to know his role. Who's in charge of the household? Huh? The father, the man. It's 21st century, women's rights. Who made him in charge? Forget this 21st century nonsense. We're Muslims. Who put him in charge? Allah. Case closed. Nothing to be said about it. This is like, but I'm more intelligent than my husband. You could be. But nonetheless, he's in charge. That doesn't mean that you don't go and ask your wife for her advice. That don't mean you make decisions. Say, that's it. I'm in charge. Allah said it. You heard the sheikh when he said it that night. Khalas. I won't hear nothing else from you. Us. No, it's not like that. It's a team effort. But at the end of the day, who makes the decision? In the company, who makes the decision? The CEO. Does he do it by himself or he asks the people underneath of him? Calls a meeting. At the end, might be some difference of opinion. But he makes the decision. What happens if you don't have that CEO? A jungle, once again. So we come together, even asking the children their opinions. That's nothing wrong. The little kid. So what do you think about this? Get their opinion, get them involved. Doesn't mean you're going to take his opinion. You know? So what do you think we should do? Say, I think we should make this all a playroom. Big screen TV and this. And I think we shouldn't go to school. You know, if you just stay here and play and this. Okay, thank you for your opinion. Obviously you're not going to do it. But at least he talked about how he felt. He feels like he's part of the team. Okay? So having him together. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's the best of the best. Went to his wife and asked her for advice. Time and time again, at the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, when they were going to make Umrah, and he went and he told them to shave their heads. And the Sahaba didn't want to do it because they wanted to go make the Umrah. They didn't want to give up. They want to fight if they have to fight. They weren't willing to give up. He was angry. How could they not obey me? What did he do? He went inside and talked to his wife, radiallahu anha. And she told him, go out and shave your head first. Let them see the implementation. And then everybody's going to follow. And that's what happened. Took the advice of his wife. He said, no, I'm the ruler. I'm the one in charge. They have to follow. Listen to his wife. At the end, he's the one who made the decision. He took her advice. Each one needs to know the role. Nowadays, one of the biggest things, and let's be honest, If we're going to fix the problems, we have to be honest. The biggest thing that has destroyed our household, we're going to talk about tomorrow on Saturday night, is the role of the woman is no longer the role of the woman. Because what's important for us is what? The most important things in our life has become what? Let's be honest. Money. Money. Let the woman work. I don't care. I'm not paying all the bills by myself. Get a job, woman. Now when people get married, what's the first thing? This is not no longer beauty, no longer dean. That she has a job. Hopefully making more than me. Then I hope she has some dean and some beauty on top of that. The key thing is she's got a good job. Because men don't want to be men. And the women can't be women. The women have the most difficult job in the world. I don't care what anybody says. Raising children. That's difficult, man. Taking care of houses. Difficult. Having to clean and cook for a family, it's difficult. Having to take care of you, it's difficult. And then you make her go work on top of that. That's why the household has been ruined. That's why the West is what the West is today. A bomb ready to explode the Western society. It's finished. It's deteriorating. Anytime. No family relationships whatsoever. No respect for the family. The kids come home, there's no mother in the household. It's impossible. It's impossible for a woman to be a proper wife and a proper husband and work at the same time. She can try her best, but it's impossible to do it properly. I don't care what anybody says. Allah told you, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. Stay in your house. Why? Because that's where the good comes from. This is how it has to be. In the West now, programs after programs on TV have been done about women, American women, going back where? To the house. Said, because we found we can't raise our children properly while we're working. Like I said, you have some sisters, mashallah, may Allah bless them. They strive, they try to do their best. But it can't be done. It's too difficult. It's too much responsibility. And that's why each person has to know their role. The child has to know their role as a child. The role of the parents, the status of the parents. What do I need to do as a child? What is my role in the house? How can I be part of the team? It's a team effort. Everybody has to play their part. We're going to be successful in building this ummah. The things the Prophet ﷺ said, the things that he did, what Allah said, it wasn't just a good advice. It's a must. Even non-Muslims. Now the women, women's rights, they get upset about this one. But it's still in the Irish Constitution today. Irish Constitution. Not Saudi Constitution. The Irish Constitution. That the place of the woman is where? Anybody know the Irish Constitution? The place of the woman is in the house. Irish Constitution. Written in the early 1920s. As soon as they finally broke away from Britain. The place of the woman is in the house. And they said that the good for the society won't happen unless the woman is in her house taking care of her children. And because of this, the state, if she doesn't have and she's in a time of need, the state will pay for her to stay in her house so the society can be good. It's the reality. Some situation you're in, maybe your wife has to help out. It's expensive to live in the Gulf countries, for example. Nonetheless, you need to try to give your wife as much free time as possible. If she's going to work, then you have to come home and you have to put on the apron with her. You have to help out. It's impossible to do it by herself. We have to be there for our children. Each person has to know his role. The rights of each member of the household. The children need to know the rights of the parents. The parents need to know the rights of the children. We can't talk about it in depth. We don't have enough time. But each member has rights. The children have responsibility of us to take, great responsibility for us to raise them properly. We're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. The woman, she has rights. The husband, he has rights. Each one needs to learn the rights of the other. Having respect for the husband, for the wife. Knowing their rights. Fulfilling their rights. When you look into the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as one of the beauties of Islam, to be humble to your parents, to obey them, not to say to them, oof, the smallest amount of disrespect. Know their rights. Your children are trained from a young age. We need to look in how we deal with our wives. Would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have dealt with this, with his wives like this? We need to ask ourselves. You see, because it's a big, big responsibility, the family. How would the Prophet ﷺ have dealt with this situation? The way I'm dealing with my wife right now, or the way the wife is dealing with the husband, will this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or will it upset him? We need to ask ourselves. On the day of judgment, when we stand in front of Allah, how is this treatment going to affect my scale of good deeds and bad deeds? We need to be honest with ourselves while we still have a chance. Building our houses on love. One of the most key things, the important things, studies have proven this. The importance of the children finding the love in the household. The husband finding the love. The wife finding the love. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mentioned several examples. House was full of love, full of respect for the other members. When Fatima radiallahu anha came in the house and to the majlis, what did he do? Who knows the story? He stood up for her. He smiled. He was happy to see her. And he opened up a spot next to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, for her to come and sit down. Loving. The Prophet ﷺ, when he came to pray, who was with him a lot of the times? Hassan al-Hussein, his granddaughter Umama, showing the love and the respect for the children. Even with dealing with his companions, he would show them love. He would tell them, so many examples. Say, Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Say, Mu'adh, very, I love you. I love you. He took him by both hands, alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to be affectionate with the children by wiping on their head, wiping on their cheeks. The children of Medina. So how about with your own children? One of the Sahaba from the Arab, from the Bedouins who come from the desert. Harsh, harsh ones. They came and they saw the Prophet kissing his grandchildren. The guy was shocked. You kissed the kid. That's a big no-no in where we're from, you know. Kiss the kid. And he said, I have 10 children. 10. He said, I never kissed one of them. What did the Prophet say to him? Man la yarham, la yurham. Whoever doesn't have mercy doesn't get any mercy. You have 10 children, never kiss your kid. How's he going to feel, this kid? That's not Islam. It's not Islam. The kids need to feel this is a place of love and affection. That their parents love them. The husband needs to feel that his wife loves her. She needs to feel that her husband loves her. This love is important. Don't think this is something you see now on the NBCs and stuff like that. This is real. This is deen. This is Islam. The issue of love is important. The importance of communication. Understanding the other. This is so, so important in building the Muslim household. There's certain times where you need to know this is not the time to talk to my husband. It's not the time to talk to my wife right now. Wait till they are in a good state. When's a good time? When's a bad time? The communication is so important. This is what we're missing. When something goes wrong, something you dislike, your wife does, or something like this, what do most of us do? We don't say anything. We keep it inside. And she keeps it inside. Then the years build up and explodes. And the problems happen. From the beginning, come to her and say, Habibti, my wife, my love, I don't like when you do this. And tell them, and say, I don't like when you do this. Pay attention when I do. Don't talk like this. Have certain things now. The fiqh of disagreeing and arguing in the households is so important. Never, ever, ever argue or disagree in front of your children. This destroys the households. You have to have an understanding that and you're going to disagree. The Prophet ﷺ had disagreement with his wives. And you're not better than him, and your wives are never going to be better than his wives. And they disagreed. But how do they deal with it? When you disagree, never in front of the children. Tests have proven, studies have proven, that is one of the things that destroy the household. When you disagree, what are you supposed to do when you get angry? What are you supposed to do? Huh? Sit down, say what? A'udhu billah, make wudu, change your position, whatever it is, to cool down the anger. So when you get angry, a lot of things are going to be said. People always come to the sheikh, I divorced my wife, but I was angry. Does somebody divorce his wife when they're happy? They're having a beautiful candlelight dinner, you know, romantic. Maybe you're divorced, you know. I want to let you know, I want to end nicely. I took you out tonight, this expensive dinner here, to let you know that you're divorced. 3 times. Now get on your way. It doesn't happen like that. You have to control your anger and come together and solve the problem.
This is a mithaq waleed that you've taken, an agreement you've taken in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this marriage. When the problems happen, you have to solve it. We say rules and regulations. We have a problem, not in front of the children. She starts to talk to you, not in front of the children. Walk out of the house. Or she walks in the other room, something like that. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to talk about it later when each one cools down. The importance of having our households built as houses built upon truth. Sidq. We talk about the truth, several aspects of being truthful in the household. By making our households ones not built on lies. Allah talks about the importance of truthfulness, a sidq, all throughout the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ talks about it all throughout the Sunnah. But also making sure that we need to keep our words as husbands, as wives. That's why I always tell my family, I never say yes to anything. Not right away. It drives my family crazy. Never I say yes. It's a policy I have. Can we go somewhere tomorrow? I'll tell you later. Because right, I'm busy right now. I'm studying. I'm really, I can say, yeah, no problem. No, go ahead, I'll tell you later. And I realize I have something else to do tomorrow. I can't do it tomorrow. But then what? You gave your word. Then the problems start. You told me you have to keep your word. You're a Muslim. And I remember one of the mashaykh, he said one time, we're talking about training our children. He said that his son who's leaving the household, and one thing, not paying attention, he said, Baba, he said, bring me a Torah when you come back. And he said, Hadr, he said, I'll do it for you, inshallah. And he left, and he had to go to a lecture. He was in a hurry to get out of the house. And he comes home, he comes back. The first thing the boy asks him is what? Where's my toy? You said yes. House built on truthfulness, being truthful, fulfilling your word, fulfilling your promise. He said, where's my toy? He said, oh. He said, Ibn, I'm sorry, my son, I forgot. He said, he forgot. He was in a hurry, had a lecture, questions afterwards, this. He forgot. What did the boy say to him? He said, you get on the minbar and tell people to do and don't, and you lie in your household, you don't keep your word. What did the sheikh do? Right back out, bought the toy and came back. Keep his word. Households of truthfulness. Teaching our children the importance of being truthful. They come to you and they lie. You know they're lying. I didn't break it. I didn't eat the chocolate. His hands are full of chocolate. It wasn't me. Teaching from a young age. What's important, Allah knows. If I don't know, it's not important about me. More important is Allah than me. What's more important, my son, my daughter, is that you tell the truth. I'm not going to be angry. Tell the truth. This is a household of truthfulness. We don't have lies in this household. Be truthful. Be honest at all times. No matter what. But if you lie, I'll become angry. If you're truthful, you did something wrong, I'm going to let you slide for it because you're honest. Training ourselves and our children to be truthful. Having our households be households of forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Because nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Somebody comes to you, and the importance of being truthful is, once again, if you make a mistake, to admit it. Shaykh al-Qadi, he said, 20 years, I was never upset with my wife, not once. She never did anything wrong. Only one time. What did he say? He said, and I was the zalim. I was the oppressor. I'm the one who did wrong to her. To make her do something wrong displeasing to me. He was honest. If you make a mistake, we want to correct and build our households properly. You made a mistake when it comes to dealing with your wife. Go home to her tonight and say, look, I made a mistake. I should have been doing it like this. It was wrong. She tells you, I made a mistake. And then after that, they were forgiving. We accept it. So no, khalas. Yawm al-Qiyam. It's never happened. How's it going to be a success? How are you going to build your house? You should know that. You should know better. Allah will never forgive you. Astaghfirullah. Be forgiving. Somebody admits they made the mistake. We forgive them. And not holding grudges. Our hearts have to be pure. The Prophet said when he said, a man will enter now from the people of Jannah. What did this man do to be from the people of Jannah? When they followed him, see what he's doing. Nothing special. He said that I never sleep at night and have anything in my heart against another Muslim. So how about against your husband, against your wife, against your children, against your father, your mother? Having our hearts pure and clean towards our family. The last two issues I'm going to talk about, something that none of us think about, this issue. The importance of healthy homes. Pay attention. I mean healthy, eating healthy, eating right. So many problems that we face today is because of the trash and the rubbish that we and our children eat. The things that we eat, it affects us. We don't realize this. Overeating affects us. When I was on tour now in Malaysia, one of the workshops I gave at the Twins of Faith conference was Sunnah Cures. And we talked about dieting. Now it's the big thing, diet, diet, diet. The ultimate diet is in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were raised as young children that we need to eat how many meals a day? Three meals. We raised it. Your mother taught you to eat three meals, and you ate three meals: breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What did it do to us? It put our parents in the graves. A lot of them, our grandparents, heart attacks, and made us like our wives when they're like 6 or 7 months pregnant. Overeating. Eat, eat, boy, eat to your full. Going against the sunnah. No, you gotta eat more. Eat, eat. Now the professionals, the fitness coaches and the doctors, they said, actually, that was a mistake. How many meals do you need a day? You guys don't know nothing about the modern things, man. Come on, how much? You guys still old school. About five meals a day. Some five, six, whatever. Any small meals. The big meals are bad for you. The Prophet, he said, if it's just a few bites to suffice your hunger, that's all you need to be strong. Any small portions, small meals. It's from the sunnah. Eating small amounts with how many fingers? Three fingers. It's healthier for you. Not overeating. One third for what? For water. One third for air and one third for food. Nowadays, what is it? About 95% for food. The Pepsi and the rest is, can't even move. You can't even breathe. About to die. That's what happens. The scholars talk about one of the main poisons for the heart is overeating. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, you never feel a vessel more dangerous than what? In the stomach. You are what you eat. This affects you in your life. You're sick, you're tired, you don't feel good, and you're at home, you feel grouchy. Your children are eating chips and chocolate, and that's why they're climbing. You're like, why are they climbing on the ceiling? Why do they have bad health? Why are they so weak? That's why. We really need to look into the issue of what we eat and taking care of ourselves. The body also is it's a manna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet, when they talked about his body, how was it? Six-pack shortcuts they have today, right? The Prophet had a flat stomach, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was in shape. 63. Went for Hajj. What did he do? Slaughtered 63 camels with his own hand. Not a sheep. The sheep lays down for you. The camel comes after you. The camel's trying to get you. It's you or him as far as he's concerned. He's not gonna mess with you. Scary to comes after you. Prophet says, it's not, you don't slip that, you stab. 63 with his own hand. Used to race his wives, alayhi salatu wasalam, in shape. What happens when we're 63 today? Most of us can't even walk when we're 63. Because we don't take care of ourselves. It's important. It has an effect on you emotionally, on your ibadah, on how you deal with things. We need to change this in our households. And the last point we want to mention is the importance of dua for our family. Look in the Quran. Go in for effect in the Quran. Look how Ibrahim alayhi salam used to always make dua for his family. He used to always look out for his family in the dua. Hey, my family, make us Muslims for you. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا, and from our offspring, ذُرِّيَّةً مُسْلِمَا, an offspring of Muslims who are servants to you, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never making dua, never, ever making dua on your children or on your wife. Never. No matter what they do. May Allah curse you, sometimes you say. What if Allah answers the dua? What is the curse? May Allah my name make you successful. May Allah make you from the losers. And Allah answers the dua. The Prophet doesn't forbid us from making the dua. One of the sahih heard making it on the camel. The Prophet gave him a lesson. What if Allah answers it? Your own child, your own wife. Never ever make dua upon them.
Allah answers that dua. The curse is being thrown out of the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see it in later because you made this dua, you were stupid, you couldn't control your anger. I heard a beautiful story the other day, and I'll end with this. It was a man who entered into the room and found his mother asleep. And this shows us the status of the parents in Islam. His mother was asleep, and she was talking in her sleep. You know what she was saying? She was making dua for her children. In her sleep, she's making dua. The man came in, he said, it touched my heart in such a way, you know, the love. It gave me a love for my mother. I always had the love, but it just took it to another level. She's in her sleep, and she's making dua for me and my brothers and my sisters. That Allah will make us successful. That Allah will help us. That Allah will be with us. Parents striving for their children. Constantly making dua for them. That Allah will make us successful, make us pious, and to make our children and offspring pious. And Allah knows best. Allah a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.